بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد. الحمد لله. We recite Surah As-Sad. Surah As-Sad. Like every other surah, is an amazing surah which maybe has the theme of reminding and getting to the truth through the reminder. One is to remind, and the other is to remind in such a way that you get to the truth. So in this surah, you have basically certain stories of reminders and reminders that lead to the truth. Inshallah, the first story, that is of Dawood alayhi salam. وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ نَبْءُ الْخَصْمُ, has the story of the opponent and the contender come to you. So two people apparently climbed the walls of Dawud alayhi salam's sanctuary. Dawud alayhi salam was a very devout worshipper of Allah. At night, he would spend all his night in the worship of Allah, and he had made for him a very private sanctuary with walls around him, and he had this mihrab there. It's the tasawwur al-mihrab, that the two people who came to settle a dispute, they came at a time when Dawood was engaged in ibadah, and the time for court cases had expired, so they came basically at the wrong time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrates the story, basically about the people fighting over a case of one brother, one partner had this 99 sheep and the other one had this one sheep, and there was some back and forth argumentation. He said, and Dawud alayhi salam eventually understood what the reminder was. So this, the debate there between the two was a stage and a setup for Dawud alayhi salam to understand Allah's intent behind settling the case. So the story is that the reminder is for Dawood alayhi salam, that when you are the king or the ruler, then you cannot allocate individual worship time when other people need your services. So Dawood, nafil ibadah versus this primary function of a ruler, and that is to settle disputes. So the dispute is a reminder for Dawood. I shouldn't be doing this. So then he fell into prostration. He made ruku. That's why he got the sajda in the ayah. So Dawood realized that this is a reminder, and this reminder is leading me to the truth of what I'm supposed to do as a khalifa. Ya Dawood, inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard, which is in this series of ayah. We have made you a khalifa on earth, and your function is to help people settle their disputes and not engage in nafil ibadah. So you can't compromise the duties of the khilafa for your personal ibadah. He is so devout in ibadah, as you know. He fasted every other day. And he made tasbih, and the birds would sing with him in the hymns of his tasbih and so on. So he's very devout in the awwab, always returning to Allah in tawbah and dhikr and tasbih. And so he was pleased with his idea that nobody should disturb me when I'm in ibadah. So Allah said, okay, we'll disturb you. So you can't do that. You as a khalifa, you have other priorities in life other than nafil ibadah. And that is a lesson for those of us who have other duties, including the duties of settling, you know, the disputes and resolving issues for the ummah. That if you're in charge of that, taking care of the ummah, then that is your ibadah. That is your ibadah. Then you can't resort to nafil ibadah because of the lesser ibadah. So that's a reminder. Hada dhikr, this is a dhikr, a reminder. There's another story of Sulaiman alayhi salam being reminded of doing salat, but he was engaged with, you know, settling the horses for jihad. So he was inspecting the horses for jihad and he forgot to pray. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him a reminder. In the same sequence of stories and so on. And then the point is that at the end of the surah, مَا كَانَ لِيَ مِنْ عِلْمٍ بِالْمَلَئِ الْعَلَىٰ إِذْ يَخْتَصِمُونَ. This is the point I want to raise, that the مَلَئِ عَلَىٰ, the higher council of angels, there are two categories of angels. One is called the مَلَئِ أَسْفَلِ, known as the lower council, and the second is called مَلَئِ الْعَلَىٰ, which is mentioned here in this ayah. مَا كَانَ لِيَ مِنْ عِلْمٍ بِالْمَلَئِ الْعَلَىٰ, by name is mentioned. I don't have any knowledge of the higher council of angels. The higher council of angels, they are appointed to something that the lower council is not. So the higher council has a function which is higher than the lower council, and that's why they're Mali'ala, they're Ala, they're higher. What is their function? The Quran says something very amazing. Yeah, for those of you who are not into knowledge and ilm, إِذْ يَخْتَصِمُونَ, when they dispute and when they fight. Who's fighting? The angels. The angels are fighting amongst each other. So how can that be angels? It's supposed to be angels, you know, they're supposed to be innocent. You know, miskin, bichare, they're not. Allah says, no, we have a whole council of angels and their only occupation is ikhtisam, fighting, settling disputes, argumentation. You think you know Islam? Try again. Yeah. Why do they fight? Why are angels fighting? Allah gives them knowledge, why are they fighting? So this is in terms of understanding the academic imperative of Islam. Yeah, when you fight an issue, dispute an issue in fiqh, then you are resembling the council of angels. You know how that is? How that translated into the real life? Abu Hanifa, rahimullah, who's obviously our paradigm, he's our mentor, he's everything to us. He was walking on the street. As he was walking there was a little bit of puddle on the street, and there was a young boy, young lad, you know, maybe 10, 11, 12 years old. He was walking too. So Abu Hanifa said to the young boy, be careful, watch your step. The young boy, he said, you're Abu Hanifa. You watch your step. See, the awliya of Allah, they don't get angry. He didn't say, well, why are you little, you know, two-bit pipsqueak telling me to watch my step? Who are you? You teeny bopper. He saw this as a reminder, Abu Hanifa, that this Allah is talking through this boy. He said, this boy is right. I am Abu Hanifa. And if I slip, the whole ummah slips. If I fall, the whole ummah falls. If I make a mistake, the whole ummah will suffer. So he took this as a reminder, a dhikr, which is what this surah is about. Hada dhikr. Saad wal Quran is dhikr in the beginning of the surah. The Quran of dhikr, reminder. Abu Hanifa saw this as a reminder from Allah that I have to make some changes in my life. So until that time, he did not allow his students, Abu Yusuf and Muhammad, to debate with him. After he heard this from the child, he went and he said to Abu Yusuf, to Muhammad, to Zufar, to everybody in his audience, from today, I want you to challenge everything I say. Like the angels, when they fight, they dispute. I mean, they're not disputing about who is the Khalifa. The angels, they're disputing, they're fighting about which action is the best. Which is in Hadith, the Prophet says that. فِيمَا يَخْتَصِمُ الْمَلُّ الْعَلَىٰ. What are the angels fighting over? The Hadith says. So the Prophet said they are fighting over the best. What is the best deed? What is the best deed? They're fighting over what is a priority for a Muslim. Not establishing the Khilafah. But what? This is how you make wudu. This action that if you go to the masjid in a cold night and you make wudu and you go to the masjid, this is the best action. And then the other angels say, no, this is not the best action. You're the best action. So they're not fighting over the dunya. They're not fighting over issues that are, you know, secular or mundane. They're fighting over which actions are going to lead you closer to Allah. That's what they're disputing. And that's what they do. As Shah Waliullah rahimahullah mentions. That's what they do. So Abu Hanifa rahimahullah read the ishara of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's what you do. You read. You read the taqween, you read the cosmos, you read what Allah is saying to you. Allah speaks to you in so many different ways. وَكَيِّ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. There are so many ayat, so many signs that people cross by, but they just turn away from them. They don't read them. They don't read the signs that Allah is. No, I don't want you guys to go Google Gaga and then try to think of every mystical sign in your life. No, don't do that. That's stupid. Okay, you're not Abu Hanifa. Just don't go there. Take it easy. Just be an ordinary human being. Follow the Sharia. You're fine. All right? But he read it. He said, Allah is, I better wash my step. So from that day, he arranged a council of 40 ulama who would fight and dispute and contend everything he said. They would debate everything he said. That's when you have the 40 ulama, shura madhab of Abu Hanifa. Abu Hanifa's madhab is not just his opinion, it is the opinion of 40 other scholars who debated everything. Why this one? This is not right. This is not right. This is not right. No, this hadith says no. This one. Fighting and debating and ikhtisam, settling disputes as to which one is the better position. They weren't fighting over halal haram, the fuqaha. They were fighting over one which is preferred and which is not preferred. All right? Yeah. They weren't fighting to kill each other. Like the angels, they're not fighting to destroy the world. But they do have disputes. And they challenge each other. This is the, what you call the ilmi academic imperative that the ummah has inherited from the Malayala. And from Abu Hanifa. Right? As I usually make a joke of Hanafis, we love fighting. It's not a joke. It's the truth. We love fighting, debating, because we want to ascertain the truth. We want to get to the truth. The only way you're going to get to the truth is to debate. But you must know how to debate, and you must know what to debate. and when to debate. I mean, that's a different science altogether. What I'm saying is that here in this surah, the point is there is a reminder. The reminder is to get to the truth. But Dawood was reminded to get to the truth of his own life, his own personal ibadah. And then here the angels are reminding each other to get to what is the truth, what is the preferred, which action is going to lead a believer closer to Allah. That's what they're debating. And we must appreciate this, because now this is the academic trend which this ummah inherited and then obviously came over into the West. It's very common in the West now, the debate. Everybody debates every little issue. Right? So you mustn't condemn it. You must see it as an extension of the Muslim civilization, that we used to do this as part of our life. All the time, we used to fight. It's debate. For, obviously, a good reason, and within the boundaries of normal ethics and behavior, that we would have ikhtisam. We would make each other opponents. You're my opponent. Right? So when you read some of the books of fiqh, mashallah, like Hidayah, the Hidayah, he assumes that everybody's an opponent. The Imam Shafi is an opponent. He calls him a khasam. And then just to play the advocate of the opponent, he then gives a position for Imam Shafi also. And he proves Imam Shafi's right too. You see how this is nurtured in the Muslim mind, that this sophistication and this willingness to listen to the other side and to see different perspectives, and not to be closed-minded and assume that what you say is the truth. Abu Hanifa is Imam Adam. If he said to his students, shut up, they would have shut up. We didn't say that. He said, argue, debate with me, challenge me. What is something, what is another way to look at this? Is this right? Is this correct? Is this accurate? So he made sure that the madhab was now foolproof in such a way that all the Hanafis, they know how to debate. It's in their madhab. If you see any Hanafi alim who's a true Hanafi, he will debate. You won't be able to fight with a Hanafi alim, because he'll just destroy you. I'm not joking. He'll just destroy you. He'll make you look like an idiot. Because that's how they learn. That's how the madhab is formed. And that's what the Hanafi madhab is. It is now, what you call it, it is vetted. Purely, it is vetted with rational ideas, with ideas from hadith, with ideas from Quran, from every angle. They vetted the whole thing until that Imam Muhammad wrote in his Zahir al-Riwayat, whatever he wrote. Okay? What is the madhab? And so on. What I'm saying is that then, now the irony of this surah, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he teases us. Allah is a jokester sometimes. You know? He teases us. And he likes it, which is fine. That's his prerogative. The next story is about Iblis. The next story in the surah is about who? Iblis. What does Iblis do in front of God? He debates him. No, why are you telling me to make sajda in front of me? I'm better. So Allah doesn't get a hammer and thump you. Hey, sit down. He lets Iblis debate. What does he do? He allows Iblis to continue his conversation, and he allows Iblis to debate. You see how Allah teases us? Yeah, so Muslims, don't be so gung-ho about fighting. If you know how academics work, and if you know how, you know, understanding that your position has to be vetted from all angles, and you have to be challenged, you must now, what do you call it, pass the test of not just durability and time, you must pass the test of criticism. Is your position right? Why are you saying it's right? Prove it to me. So Iblis is trying to say to Allah, prove it to me that he's better than me. Allah allows him. Then Allah gives him the final word. Okay, if that's the way you want to be, then I'll make sure that you and anybody who follows you end up in hell. That's the end of the story. But while Iblis is debating, Allah doesn't stop him. Carry on, let's see what you have to say. Yes, it's the adab of understanding how to get to the truth. Sad wal Qur'an al-dhikr. This is the reminder that if you want to get to the truth, then you must be open to criticism. You must be open to letting other people question you, question your knowledge, question your position. Once you've done that and you pass the test, then you are a good alim. Then your madhab is good. But if you just close the door and say, no, because I say so, that's why it's right. That's not the way of a Muslim, I believe. It's not the way of the angels. The angels, they fight, يختصمون, they fight, and they fight over issues. You wouldn't even believe the kind of issues that they fight over. But they're all issues based on preferences, not haqq and batin, not the truth and falsehood. Not on whether Allah exists or not, not on pluralism, not on Shiaism, not on, you know, kufr or qadianism. They don't fight over that. That's all established. Okay? They fight over what is preferred. Yeah. So that you know that this is the way they want to cast their fears, and they want to bring down their experience, and they bring down their knowledge into the minds of hearts of people who are there to receive knowledge from them. And that is how the Muslim Ummah has inherited this. At least until recently, we've inherited this. We used to be great debaters. Now, we're all pussycats. We're not going to fight them. Oh, we'll be jarry, pussycats. No, it's okay, I'm not going to fight you. Why not? What are you afraid of? You know, up to the challenge? Your position is not strong enough. If it's not strong enough, then why are you following it? So this is the atmosphere and the ambiance we have, and I want to create this at Darul Qasim. It's happening already. Bilal, Sheikh al-Hinsi, did you hear about it? Yeah, Sheikh al-Hinsi, they're not supposed to be debating. Okay, they're teeny boppers, okay, they're pipsqueaks. They're not supposed to be debating anything. They don't know anything about anything. But I caught them debating about an issue they should not be debating. I scolded them. And they're very sorry. But there you go. That's Darul Qasim. You come into Darul Qasim, you're going to be Hanafi. You're going to debate. You're going to start debating even though you don't know how to debate. Because you want to get to the truth. Yeah. I told them I'll suspend them if they debate again. Because they're not ready for that yet. Maybe a fourth year, fifth year, they can start debating. Sheikh al-Hind, come on, give me a break. You don't know anything. Right? You're not even a novice. So what I'm saying is that we need to create this ambience, atmosphere in Darul Qasim and around us in the community that the Hanafi madhab is all about debate. Abu Hanifa, when he started his career, who was he? He was a debater. He debated the Shias, he debated the atheists, he debated the Qadariya, he debated the Qadariya Jabariya, he debated everybody, and he went out into debates into various towns, and he defeated everybody. He was not a faqih. He became a faqih later. That's our imam, so we make taqlid of our imam, we're going to debate. Maulana Qasim Nanoti Rahmatullahi, the founder of Darul Ulum Deoband. What was he? He was a master debater. Master debater. He debated the Christians. He debated the Hindus. He debated the Sikhs. He debated the Juts. And he debated the Shias. And he, the Christian missionaries, when they would announce that we're going to have a debate with a Muslim scholar, if they found out that Qasim is coming, they wouldn't show up. They were chicken out and said, we can't debate him, he's going to kill us. The founder of Dalam Deoband was a debater par excellence, because Hanafi. He's the Mukhallid of Abu Hanifa. He's going to follow Abu Hanifa. He's going to debate. And he would just destroy people, anybody who came in, bulldoze them with his arguments and so on. And they're recorded. Some of his debates are recorded in history. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah. Man said him, our great teacher, mentor, Allah Khalid Mahmud. Some of you saw him, right? Met him. What was he? He was the best debater on the planet. That's what he did for a living. He debated. He debated the Shias and he confronted them in Pakistan. In amongst the Shia community, he debated Shias. Okay. He debated the Qadianis. He put them to sleep, the Qadianis. They couldn't stand in front of him. He debated the Barelvis, you know. The Barelvis, the green topi wale. He debated them too. And he put them where they belong. Sit down, be quiet. I'm Hanafi. I'm a debater. You can't say anything to me. Finish, khalas. That's the end of the story. Okay. So what I want you to do is basically appreciate that knowledge is only as good as it is challenged. Knowledge is only as good as it is challenged. If it's not challenged, then it doesn't give you yaqeen. In fact, some of the mutakallimeen in Muslim history said that if you don't know how to defend a position in aqidah, you can't make taqleed. Then you're not a believer. Meaning that was the standard they had. It's no longer there. I mean, we've relaxed the standard now. So, alhamdulillah, thank God for us. But they wanted every Muslim to be able to stand and defend every issue in aqidah. We don't have that anymore. Because either we don't know enough, or we're just shy, or we're just scared because we don't know enough. That's the bottom line. We don't know. And if you don't know, then you can't really, defend your position. So you have to be able to defend your position rationally. I don't mean through nas. I don't mean through the Quran says so. Therefore, no. That you leave outside of Dar Qasim. When you come to Dar Qasim, you say, okay, fine. Yeah. We're going to prove to you rationally why we are good, why we are superior through the Aql. That's what we do, and that's how all the books of Kalam are written that way. They are written in a very rational way. So anyway, this is now the Surah Sa'd, as you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, they're reminders that lead people to the truth. And debate is a reminder that should lead you to the truth, especially when it comes to becoming closer to Allah. Then you must practice what is the best madhab, not which is mediocre. That's the bottom line. You want to practice not just the fatwa, al-azim. You want to practice the one that leads you closer to Allah, which will be the taqwa. So somebody say, well, you know, this restaurant is okay, marginally halal. Then don't eat there. That's not leading you closer to Allah. The fatwa is not enough for you to say, I can go there and eat that maulana, he said, is this allowed? No, that's not good enough. Okay, so your knowledge must lead you closer to Allah, and that's the proof of your knowledge. And that if your knowledge leads you closer to Allah, then that's good knowledge, mashallah. Anyway, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all and give us, inshallah, access to the truth. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide us with the best of knowledge so that we can defend ourselves and defend all the civilization values of Islam with ease and comfort. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayr khalqi Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya